This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Several Democratic senators have postponed meeting with the president's Supreme Court pick, Brett Kavanaugh, because of these recent activities going on in federal court involving Trump associates. Trump continues to taunt his attorney general, Jeff Sessions. But Illinois Senior Senator Dick Durbin, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he met with Kavanaugh. Still, Durbin says Republicans should release documents from Kavanaugh's time as staff secretary to President George W. Bush.
During the period of time when he was serving as the president's staff secretary about issues that he worked on, those issues included, for example, the Bush administration's endorsement in 2004 of a proposal to amend the Constitution to ban same-sex marriage. Would the thoughts and writings of Brett Kavanaugh on that subject be important for us to review in light of his nomination to the Supreme Court? Of course they would. The Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, enacted in November of 2003, the Iraq War and the abuses at Abu Ghraib, the Supreme Court's nomination of John Roberts, Harriet Myers, and Samuel Alito, a score of cases that came before the Supreme Court on critical issues related to detainees and others, warrantless wiretapping of American citizens, which he specifically recalled was an issue that he had to discuss specifically with the president, the national security letters of the Patriot Act, Second Amendment gun laws, affirmative action, the list goes on. The point I'm making here is that 35-month period of time where Brett Kavanaugh served as staff secretary to President Bush was a period of time that was rife with issues of great constitutional moment. It's the reason why the American people have a right to know what he said, how he advised the president, what he wrote. Those are things which the Republicans are hiding from the American people and keeping secret.
That's Illinois Senior U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. Well, we're going to bring things a little bit more closer to home. We're going to talk to, speaking right now on the phone, is Professor John Jackson from Southern Illinois University and a member of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. And Professor Jackson is the co-author of a report from the Simon Institute, The Politics of Public Budgeting in Illinois. Now, okay, it's an okay title, but I like The Politics of Regionalism, Professor. How about that?
That would be a better title, actually. Wish we'd thought of it.
Well, and certainly that's the way I took it. And, you know, the release of this report coming out as, you know, we're into kind of a traditional downstate kind of campaign mode for candidates for governor coming off of the Illinois State Fair, moving over now this weekend and into the DuQuoin State Fair. And, you know, there's no doubt that politicians on both sides have tried to play off the divisions in the state and the kind of the feeling among folks in Southern Illinois, Central Illinois, Western Illinois, where, you know, Macomb is known as Forgottonia among some of those folks. But just this feeling that, you know, it's Chicago gets everything. And, you know, we are seeing it in this campaign, particularly with Governor Rauner. But there's a lot more to the story than just that kind of regional chip on the shoulder, because there's some money involved.
We think regionalism is sort of the bane of Illinois politics in many ways, and it emphasizes what divides us more than what unites us. And I think downstate in general, and particularly in deep southern Illinois, we feel a sense of that perhaps more than Chicago gets, because we just get so much emphasis on it. DuQuoin State Fair is on right now, of course, and all politicians on both sides are here. And down here, we constantly hear how all the resources go to Chicago, and Northeast Illinois is the bane of our existence and the source of all of our problems and so forth. And we take an empirical look at that. We think some facts should inform this debate, and the facts are that we do quite all right in downstate in terms of the amount of money we pay into taxes as opposed to what we get back in state returns to the local areas. So we think fact is better than fiction, and fact is superior to the myth.
But will that change anything?
Well, it's a very small voice, and they have a much bigger megaphone than we do. And, of course, those campaign ads and the debate over the budget, which was so loud and went on for well over 2 years, illustrates this. And the debate over the school funding formula, of course, and whether or not Chicago school system was getting an unfair bailout. All of that resonates across the state. And, you know, there's relatively little that binds Illinois together as a state, and particularly when the leadership emphasizes these divisive themes.
Well, and I mean, let's face it, that was part of the great heritage of Illinois here in our bicentennial year, is the diversity of this state.
Well, diversity is not necessarily divisive and shouldn't be. Diversity can indeed be a strength if it's not
exploited.
Exploited.
I mean, well, let's talk a little bit about the findings in this study. Is that you know, taxes and spending are not equally distributed across the state. Suburban counties generate about twice as much in taxes as they receive in direct state spending. Cook County and Chicago closer to breaking even. Meanwhile, downstate Illinois, where Chicago and the Chicagoland area is often being portrayed as evil, downstate Illinois, the 96, quote, downstate counties as a group, receive about 50% more in state spending than they contribute in tax revenue. That's a stunning figure. And it's particularly stunning when, you know, even to this day, we still have people talking about, let's split up the state and Chicago should be its own state and all that kind of thing. Well, I mean, that's a stunning number to look at.
Well, one of the things that impressed us was there was a Democratic governor candidate in the primaries in March who ran on a platform of dividing the state, turning it into two or five states, and getting rid of Chicago and getting rid of Northeast Illinois. And basically, that's something that comes around again and again. You mentioned Western Illinois and Fargatonia earlier. All of that is endemic to Illinois politics and has been for many, many years, if not forever. It's deeply ingrained in our political culture. Our quick response to that is, if we did that, Southern Illinois and Central Illinois would be Mississippi North, basically.
We're speaking with Professor John Jackson from Southern Illinois University, a member of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, and co-author of a research paper, The Politics of Public Budgeting in Illinois. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We're speaking with Professor John Jackson from Southern Illinois University, part of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. We're talking about a paper he co-authored that kind of gets into this whole issue of politicians playing regionalism in Illinois. And, you know, in this research, you note that regional pride, regional jealousy, that's not an unusual factor in many states, particularly ones that have a kind of a dominant urban area. But you go on to say what is different, or at least exaggerated in Illinois, however, is the extent to which many Illinois leaders emphasize, exploit, and exacerbate these regional differences for their own advantage. As a prime example, running against Chicago. And so, you know, as we constantly see from a Republican aspect, it's trying to take Chicago Democratic leaders, portray them as corrupt and part of the Chicago machine. That's the shorthand of regionalism there. And, you know, here again, playing on these kind of long-standing perceptions that every 4 years, so sometimes every 2 years in legislative races, are just allowed to proliferate. Am I right?
Yes, that's exactly right. I think you can see down here that playing out in various ways, but most notably in terms of, since I've lived here, which is 40 years now, we started with, we're supposed to hate and fear Mayor Richard J. Daley because he's always dictating and he's always getting his way. And then it moved to Richard M., and same story, but somehow maybe a little less virulent, but nevertheless, he was the bad guy. And now, of course, it's transitioned to constantly Mike Madigan. And I think that's a form of the same thing for us in downstate, really. But it's the shorthand, and that shorthand then gets into all of the commercials and all the television and becomes reinforced constantly.
Well, and let's make no secret, you know, Illinois is a huge state. And when you get into your area around Carbondale and you know, when you're, you know, pretty much closer to Memphis than you are to Chicago, there are going to be different regional attitudes and regional concerns. You know, for example, one thing is kind of the, I would say, and you're much closer to this than I am, but is the more turn towards red in downstate in southern, deep southern Illinois, where, you know, it used to be you'd have blue dog Democrats there. In fact, going to my previous guest, Mike Hawthorne, and we were talking about coal country, and you had some of the influence of the United Mine Workers and electing Democrats down in coal country. That's all kind of going away.
Well, that's exactly right. And we've gone through the same transition that the South has gone through. We lagged the South and were a good deal later getting to that, but we have certainly come to that party. And we've become increasingly red in presidential votes and even in congressional votes now. And this end of the state, particularly because of economic reasons, was always a bastion of Democratic strength, and the unions were a key part of that. And the same thing that's happened to the South has happened here, although ours came more recently.
And doesn't that actually even further exacerbate that regional split? Because it's now Chicago Democrats against Republicans in the rest of the state. We kind of saw it in the, you know, in the last election for governor.
Well, I think that's right. And what it does is to reflect how much Illinois is a microcosm of national politics. We are a deeply polarized nation, and we're polarized ideologically and partisanship and geographically. And now Illinois reflects almost exactly that same distribution. Look at the distribution of counties that went for Trump versus counties that went for Clinton. In fact, it looks the same as the national distribution.
Well, and you bring up a good point too, because in that 2016 race, and I've made the point repeatedly, is that, you know, the enhanced role, I think, of suburbs and the collar counties, and even if you want to take it even a step further, perhaps the role of moderate suburban women in determining the fate of statewide candidacies. And I think, you know, when you look at that 2016 race for president, here you have the collar counties, which were traditionally part of the Republican firewall to offset votes, Democratic votes coming out of the city. The firewall is being burnt through. You had all but McHenry County and the collar counties supported Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. And I think, you know, that's, people are kind of wondering now, how does that play out now when we get to the 2018 midterms?
Exactly. It used to be that there was a thesis that downstate sort of had the balance of power, and as goes downstate, so goes Illinois elections. Well, that's not really the case anymore. Downstate is pretty dependably going to be red if you look at distribution by county. Chicago, of course, is going to be blue. And then the game is won, whether it's federal or statewide out there in the suburbs. DuPage County used to be the bastion of pure Republican strength, and it's much more diverse, and the suburbs are much more diverse now.
Yeah, I think demographically, but also ideologically, because, you know, the type of Republican politics that we've seen in this state for decades of more of a, I guess, social moderate fiscal conservative, that's kind of being upended ideologically by what you're seeing coming from the Trump administration.
Well, and that too is a microcosm of the suburban influence in national elections. You can pander to the base on either side, and pandering to the base for either side will get you
X
35,
amount,
right. Maybe 40%, but it's tough to get to 50%. And to get to 50%, you've got to have independent, moderate, and uncommitted voters, and those are often found in the suburbs.
We'll watch as the governor's race plays out. We'll be watching, of course, plenty of these midterm congressional elections playing out. Certainly, you know, plenty of interesting races going on. We look, obviously, at the congressional races here in the suburbs, but also some very interesting ones downstate. And we'll see what becomes of all that talk about a blue wave or not. Professor John Jackson from Southern Illinois University, Carbondale, from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. Professor, thank you so much for joining me this Sunday morning. Hope to have you back on again.
Thanks. Glad to do it.
We'll be back with more right after this.